turn with me as they're finding their way to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 by way of introduction this morning. And if we haven't said it already, we hope you have a wonderful and blessed Resurrection Sunday. Amen. And you experience the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life every day. And this time of year, we celebrate what we experience all year long, that God is real, that God's alive. Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You might be sitting here this morning and saying, Pastor Randy, this is Resurrection Sunday. We're talking about the resurrection. We just had a wonderful presentation on the death of Christ. And you're reading a scripture about faith. What does faith have to do with the resurrection? And the answer to that question is everything. If you would bow your heads with me, let's ask God's blessing on the sharing of his word this morning. Father, we give all honor and glory and praise to you. For you are King and you are God. We thank you, God, that you broke the power of both sin and death when you died and you rose again. And now as we take a few moments to reflect upon your sacrifice and the demonstration of your power through your resurrection, we ask for your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and minds. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The most important event in human history is actually two events that happened within 3 days of each other. The first event being the event that Sam spoke about a few moments ago, what we remembered specifically on Friday night, that being the death and the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, and we have not one but four eyewitness accounts written in Scripture of who Jesus was and what his life was about, teaches us that Jesus, when he lived this life without sin. And so when he died on that cross, he didn't die for his sin, but he died for the sin of mankind, for everyone else. But the final act in what every individual needs in their life, the redemption of man's eternal soul, that act of redemption wasn't completed until Jesus on the third day physically rose from the dead. When he raised in power, when his body became alive, once again when he began to walk the earth again, talk to his disciples again, minister to people again. That act completed this work of redemption to all, according to the scripture that I read in the introduction, to all who believe in him. These two events are dependent upon each other. You can't have one without the other, and obviously there can be no resurrection if there's no death. If Jesus merely swooned on the cross, as some say, it would be no miracle to what Christ did back 2,000 years ago. But scriptures say that Jesus died, and there's no mistaking that he did die with the punishment that he endured on Calvary. But scripture also teaches us that without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, physically, in power, in might, the death of Christ is incomplete and does nothing to the individual. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 13 through 18, Paul teaches us the importance of the resurrection this way. He states, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be a false witness about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. See, it was important for the Lord Jesus Christ not only to die, but to rise again, because his resurrection makes the possibility of mankind being redeemed. When Jesus rose from the dead, it proved that he was sinless. Peter, in his first sermon, after Jesus not only rose from the dead, but ascended to the right hand of the Father, said these words in Acts chapter 2, verse 24. God raised him, speaking of Jesus, from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. You see, death is a prison. And like any prison, when those who are in charge of the prison find that there is a prisoner within its walls who is not guilty of any crime, they have to set him free. It's a law. It's a universal truth. We see it all the time in our culture. Individuals who have been convicted by a jury of their peers have been sentenced to death, and all of a sudden new evidence comes forward, and it's discovered that they're innocent. And so they're exonerated from the crime, even though they have been sentenced to whatever sentence they've received. Because they're innocent, they have to be let go. And that's what happened when Jesus Christ died, and the Bible says descended into hell. He knew no sin, and because he knew no sin, the prison of death could no longer keep him and had to release him. If Jesus had sinned, death would have every right to him and he would still be there. But since he sinned not, he rose from the dead. And the resurrection of Christ proves his sinfulness. It also proves that he was divine, that Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, was God himself. Paul talks about this in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Scripture says, regarding his Son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. There was one thing among many, and there were many things that upset the religious rulers about Jesus Christ and what he did and what he taught. But the thing that upset the religious leaders the most was his claim that he was the Son of God. Because when Jesus stated that he was the Son of God, they knew he was declaring that he was God himself. And the only way that that could be proved, that Jesus actually was the Son of God, was to demonstrate that he had authority over death. And so when Jesus rose the third day, his resurrection validated that claim that he was not only a good man and not only a righteous man, but he was God, because death could not keep him. The resurrection also proves that Jesus Christ was truthful. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 31, the Bible tells us some of the conversations that Jesus had with his disciples, specifically concerning what he was going to endure in his life. Verse 31 says, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. This was one of three times in the Gospel of Mark that Jesus told his disciples that he would be betrayed, that he would be executed, but that he would also rise again. And this was an outrageous claim. If he had only remained dead for a few hours, it might have been a little easier to accept. But the Bible tells us that Jesus laid in the grave for 3 days. A near impossibility for someone to rise again. And had he remained dead, people may have thought he was a good teacher. But because he declared not only to his disciples, but also to others when he said that if you destroy this temple of my body, I will raise it again in 3 days. When he declared those things, people thought that he was a lunatic. And if he didn't rise from the dead, he would be exposed as a fraud. And therefore, no one had to listen to anything he had to say. But because Jesus was true to his word and rose again the third day, if what he said about that impossibility of rising from the dead, if that was true, then we have to pay attention to everything else that he said. So what makes this act of redemption, the act of Jesus dying and rising again, what makes this a reality in our life? If when Jesus dies, does it mean henceforth now all mankind is redeemed? Well, the Bible teaches us that a necessary thing in our lives to have this act of Christ dying and rising from the dead to become part of our lives or to impact our lives is having faith in not only in that Jesus died, but that he rose again. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 puts it this way. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth you confess and are saved. You see, it's important to believe in Jesus Christ. It's important to believe that he is God, that he is the Son of God. And of course, it's important to believe that he was a good and righteous teacher, that what he says is true. But it's of utmost importance that we also believe that he rose from the dead. It's not difficult for people to believe that Jesus died. Everybody believes that people die. In fact, many people, whether they believe Jesus is the Son of God or not, believe that he was a historical figure. But the thing that sets Jesus Christ apart from the rest of humanity is that not only did he die, but he rose from the dead. And for the love of Jesus to actually become part of our lives, we have to believe that he not only died, but that he rose again. And that's something that's very difficult for mankind to believe. And it's something that people throughout time, since the very beginning of the church, have struggled with. 1 Corinthians 15:12, the people who worshipped in that city had difficulty, and Paul says this to them. He says, if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? It's a difficult thing. It's easy to believe that someone died, but it's a wholly different and difficult thing to believe that someone has risen from the dead. But that doubt and the impossible must be overcome if we're going to have any type of relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to take a few moments this morning and just talk about the people who were there in Jerusalem at the time that Jesus rose from the dead, because you would think they would have an easier time in believing that Christ rose from the dead. There are several people that we read about in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. One group of people are the women who are very devoted to Jesus, who, when Jesus died, were faithful to him. They cried, they were sorrowful, and they were among the first to come to the tomb on Resurrection Sunday. Matthew chapter 28, reading verses 1 through 8, we have their story. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were also afraid of him, and afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who is crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. I think the most precious faith that we see in all Scripture, and I might be mistaken, is the faith of these women who were devoted to Jesus as he died. Even his disciples, the men who followed Jesus, fled from him. But the women were very faithful to him, faithful to the point of death. They stood with him at Calvary. And so when they heard the words that Jesus had risen from the dead, they immediately believed. Now, Mary Magdalene, we read in John, actually left before hearing the words and came back and met Jesus himself. But their faith was so pure and so simple and so precious. They believed the words of the angel because they believed the words of Jesus. But there were others at the tomb that I just read about, and they were the soldiers. And when the angel of the Lord came and rolled away the stone, because of just fear and astonishment, these men collapsed and became as dead men. We continue to read their story in verse 11 of Matthew 28. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. The next group of people that we're going to look at were people who doubted that Jesus rose from the dead, despite incredible evidence. And there are two types of people that doubted. One group of people willfully doubted, and the other group of people just had a hard time believing. And the first group of people who willfully doubted were these soldiers. they saw the angel come and roll away the stone. The stone was not rolled away by any natural means. It was supernatural. And I surmise that they were able to see that the tomb was empty once the stone was rolled away. They fell with great fear, like dead men, as the scripture says. But rather than believing, they chose to suppress faith in Christ in accepting that hush money. Rather than believing what their eyes told them, they rather suppressed what they experienced and lied about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there were the religious leaders. Now, they weren't there at the tomb, but they certainly heard the eyewitness events of the soldiers. And they knew the scriptures, because what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't something that the religious leaders of the day should have been ignorant of. Psalm chapter 22, we have an account of what it means to be crucified. Isaiah 53, a wonderful scripture, talks about what Jesus Christ, what the Messiah would endure in order to pay for the sins of mankind. They knew the scriptures, but rather than embrace what had happened and embrace the evidence before them, they chose to ignore the resurrection. Then in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 28, we have the account of the disciples. And they finally saw Jesus face to face. And verse 16 says, when the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. So the other two groups, they willfully denied that Jesus rose from the dead. The soldiers, because they got money, they got paid to deny Jesus. The religious leaders, they didn't want to accept Jesus because they didn't want to lose out on power. We'll talk about that in a moment. But the disciples wanted to believe Jesus. They loved Jesus. But they just couldn't wrap their minds around the fact that God could have raised him from the dead. These doubters of Jesus shows us the obstacles of coming to faith. It's somewhat, I believe, astonishing to see with such clear evidence why so many people would still doubt who Jesus was and what Jesus did. And the question of the hour this morning is why? Why would they deny Jesus? Why would they choose not to believe that he rose again? The soldiers, as I mentioned a few moments ago, suppressed the truth for material gain. And you know, many people come to the brink. They are confirmed deep down in their heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that when he died on the cross, he died for their sins, that they need his forgiveness. And they believe that God has raised him from the dead, but they refuse to make that confession of faith, all because they know if you accept Jesus, it will cost you anything. We have this as an example in the scriptures when Jesus Christ called his disciples. When he called someone to follow him, he said those very words, follow me. In fact, one man, he said, if you want to follow me, sell all that you have, and then you can become my disciple. Deep down in the human heart, people understand that if you're going to serve Christ, although it's free, it will cost you everything. And sometimes for material gain, we can't live the way that we live anymore after we accept Christ as Savior. We refuse to make that commitment. We refuse to believe in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. The religious leaders willfully ignored the truth because they would have lost their place of power and control. In that society, the Romans, of course, were in charge of that province. But as far as local matters, it was the scribes and the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, who controlled the society of the day. But if they were to accept Jesus Christ as the King of the Jews, they would have to relinquish that power to him. And as I read earlier from Romans chapter 10, to place your faith in Jesus, to believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, to make that confession of faith means you have to give your life to Christ. We have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is now Lord. And so sometimes one of the obstacles that keep us from making that profession of faith in Christ is a refusal to relinquish control of your life to God. And then there were the disciples. Again, the men who loved Jesus, who wanted to believe, but they just couldn't wrap their minds around the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. One of the greatest obstacles that we have to either receiving God and believing that God is God and that He can forgive us and grant us the gift of eternal life, or even after we've accepted God and believe that God will supply and take care of every need that we might have, is our mind. Because the Bible tells us that the human mind is incapable of receiving or understanding spiritual matters. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The man without the Spirit, speaking of the Spirit of God, does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And all these people, the soldiers, the priests, even his disciples, they had this hard evidence that Jesus Christ actually rose from the dead, yet they still had a problem believing it. And, you know, that's fine for them, but how does that relate to us now? The thing is, faith in the resurrection is something that God expects for us who haven't seen. We just have heard about it and we read about it in Scripture. God is asking us to do the very same thing that He was asking those people to do without the evidence. And you might ask, why? Why would God ask us to do something that the people who lived at the time, who were experiencing those very same events and having difficulty appreciating or difficulty believing it, why would God ask us, you and I today in 2014, to believe in something we can't see, we can't even verify? Because that's the nature of faith itself. Once again, the first verse that I shared with you this morning, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. What faith is, whether it's buying a car or getting married to someone or determining the destiny of your eternal soul by putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, is believing in something without seeing. The question now then is, how do we come then to this place of faith? The Bible teaches us, Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, that faith is a very narrow road. Jesus in what's known as the Sermon on the Mount teaches us in Matthew 7, 13, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. There's a reason why few people find the road to eternal life through Christ. And that's because it's a very narrow and very difficult road to believe. And your question might be, as I'm sure many other people have asked throughout time, why would God do that? Why would God make the road so narrow? Why would He use this method of faith in order to save us? And listen, I could come at you with different ways to convince you that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I could give you several convincing philosophical arguments, although there are people who can do that much better than I can. Appealing to your sense of reasoning, showing you the necessity of accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, accepting what he did on that old rugged cross, and accepting that he rose again as the only means to find redemption from this life. I could give you evidence, and there is evidence, that not only did Jesus exist, but that he rose from the dead. And there are several good books that you can read that can teach you this. There's Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell. There's The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. Appealing to your mind. But we see, even in the face of hard evidence, because accepting Jesus is a spiritual thing, more than that is needed. Placing your faith because it is a spiritual thing, it's something that you do more than just with your mind and your heart. It's something that you do with the deepest part of your being, and that is your spirit. So in order to find this wonderful gift of forgiveness, of salvation, of eternal life, what God is asking all mankind to do is the impossible. And that's believe that God not only died on the cross for our sins, but rose from the dead. So where does that leave us as human beings? Jesus puts it this way in Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Everything is possible for him who believes. Scripture also says, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And there's an important principle that Scripture teaches us regarding faith and how we can actually come to a place where we can believe in Jesus. And like I said, there are two groups of people. There are people who don't want to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died and rose again, because they know it would mess up their lives, and so they refuse to believe in him. But then there's the other group who really want to believe. In fact, there was a guy on a radio station, and my heart just went out to him, and I was listening to sports radio. And he was talking about people of faith, and I believe there were actually people in his family who knew Jesus. And he said, I don't believe in God, but I wish that I did. How do we come to that place in faith? Well, let me tell you where you cannot find faith, and that's by looking within yourself. There's an occasion in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, I just read verse 23 a few moments ago, where a man had a sick child. And doctors could not do anything for this child, and so he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus said, everything is possible to him who believes. And that man uttered, I think, one of the most profound things that any human being can utter. And he so wonderfully describes the path to becoming a person of faith. He says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Most important decision you can ever make, because your eternal soul is of great value, is accepting Christ personally as God and King in your life and accepting what he did on Calvary for you. And I would be a fraud if I tried to make you believe in this through some kind of manipulation or emotional plea. Because confession of faith is a spiritual thing. You can't manufacture it. And if it's an emotional thing, it may last for a day or two and then it will quickly disappear. But if you're like the disciples, that second group of people who desperately wanted to believe but couldn't wrap their minds around the fact that someone could rise from the dead after 3 days. Pray that prayer that that man prayed. It was about healing, but faith is the same whether it's belief in healing or belief for your eternal soul. It's believing without seeing. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. You won't find it inside, but you'll find it by looking up. This morning, and I'd like to ask our musicians to come.